Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Saperston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Saperston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Saperston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities, member FINRA SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
And I'm Willard Saperston, calling in remote.
Unbelievable. You sound perfectly clear. That's great.
And I'm on a headset.
And I'm sure the weather's a lot better down there than it is up here, that's for sure.
It is 68 degrees, sunny, light breeze.
Yeah, I'm sorry I asked. But
it's
anyway.
Supposed to be 74 later in the day.
But anyway, it is Saturday, January 19, 2019. It's 10:04 in the morning. And we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM out of Buffalo, New York, at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, then it'll be on after the sporting event. We also have the show live streaming every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 at our website, saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Also, all of our shows are archived there. You can either replay a show, or if you miss the show, you can catch it on the archive show. And then finally, last but not least, there's a free economic report every week by Stone and McCarthy. And for economists, they are understandable, but, you know, recognize that their opinions are their opinions. So, always take everything with a grain of salt, but they give you a lot of interesting information there to kind of chew on. So anyway, right now...
I was just looking it up, too.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get to read it. I went out for a lousy breakfast. I don't even care.
Well, just don't mention where you went, but anyway...
No, I won't. I don't even know the name of the place. I'll never go back.
Wherever it was, you won't go back.
The eggs were cold.
There you go.
That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, that is hard to do. Yeah. Right now, phone line's wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Once again, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541.
There is a way to leave stocks on the website, too.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. You go to the saperston.com, you go to the Dollar Doctor live streaming, you go to the bottom of that, scroll down, and there's a way to put in messages. And we did have someone a few hours ago put in a question about UNH and KMX and MKC.
Boy, as if I'm going to remember all that. But anyway.
I got it written down.
good thing.
And I got four computers going. So
it's funny. I was just going to ask you if you were going to do the chat box, you know, so I'm glad you mentioned it, because then...
Well, I know.
No, I was getting ready to ask you about it, whether you were going to handle it or what.
Yeah, I got I got it going, and I got a dedicated computer. Are you watching it or no?
What's that?
The chat box.
I looked at it real quick. I saw the one that was there, what, about 4 hours ago or something
like
that?
Yeah, so the first one was UNH.
UNH, United Healthcare.
Yeah.
It came back nicely after breaking down.
Down to 232 and came back, closed at 265.
Yeah, and the 200 days at 254.
Or
50 days at 260, so it cleared both of those.
Which is very positive.
Which is very positive. You know, unfortunately, your risk could be back down to the 232 area if this is a fake out. But right now, it's come back up into a resistance area, but it's cleared two moving averages. So I'd say if you could stay above approximately, nothing's exact, 254, the 200-day moving average, it might be worth a shot. Or what would you say, take a partial position right now and see what happens next?
Yeah, you've got a cup formation on IBD. I've got that screen up. Mm-hmm. And you've got an 85 relative strength on a 0 to 100, with 100 being the best. And you've got earnings per share relative strength of 90. Doesn't get much better.
Mm-hmm.
Earnings stability of 6, which is very positive. And earnings the last few quarters, starting in March 2017, up 31, up 26, up 23, up 23, up 28, up 28, up 28, up 27.
I don't believe you said all of that without taking a breath.
Well,
but anyway.
That's pretty strong.
No, it is, no question. I mean, it looks like fundamentally very solid, technically very, very solid. You know, if the market were to do a retest at a low, this could go back down toward that.
Market cap $25 billion, not going out of business. But who knows if they change something, the government with health care, who knows?
Well, anything can happen. But you do have, if there's a retest in the market, and doesn't mean this would have to come down because it's showing better relative strength than the market. But, look for, 232 to 240 possible. But since you don't know that, you could take half a position now and then see what happens next. What was the next one?
KMX, Kangaroo Mother X-Ray.
KMX.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's CarMax. What are those, the people that sell the cars online?
Yeah. I've talked to them before.
Mm-hmm.
When I've seen a car that I was interested in, but you can't negotiate. They set their price and that's it.
And that's it, yeah. And if you like
supposedly
it.
Supposedly it's reasonable price.
Mm-hmm. Well, the chart looks not too good, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was up to $80. It closed at 61 and the 200 days at 69. And it's certainly in a downtrend.
It's in a downtrend, in a general support area between, 55 and 58 maybe?
Yeah.
So 55 to 58 support, certainly if you broke that, you'd really have a potential problem and you would reevaluate it, if you were interested. And we always say, do your own research. You may have a strong reason why you want to buy it.
I mean, last quarter earnings were up 35%, which is good.
Yeah.
But nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly. And, to me, you're below the 50-day, which is about 63. You're below the 200-day at 69. So to be, more bullish on this, you should take out the 200-day at 69.
Operates 188 used car superstores in 91 U.S. markets. One of the issues I see is that the debt is 4-to-1.
Mm-hmm.
To the equity. That's pretty
highly leveraged, yeah.
Yeah.
So, looking at that, like I say, 55 to 58 is the potential support area for it. Below that could be a major problem, and you want to get over the 200-day at 69. So, once again...
And remember, do your own research, right?
Well, that's what I did say that, see?
Did you say that?
Oh, yeah, because, They may do great research and they have a better reason. The technicals, don't work all the time. That's why you always give an area where if it goes below that, then you better reevaluate at that point. So,
well, CarMax is at the low end and it's had good earnings the last few quarters.
Yep.
But the debt is overpowering to me.
What do they show? Well, I don't know if you have it, the price to earnings ratio on this thing or?
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, well,
I know how to read this.
I could probably.
5-year PE range 12 to 27, and currently at, I don't know, hold on a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just switch screens. And you like it when I have all these computers on. PE at 14.30.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
And what's the growth rate of the company?
Well,
Do they have earnings growth? I mean, they're making money.
Okay. They're projecting up 27% in 2019.
Well, that's funny. You know, fundamentally it looks cheap. Yeah, technically, it looks not so great. So,
it's projected to be down 7 next year.
Really? Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's not.
Well, 2020. Yeah, that's okay, next year. Yeah.
That's right, yeah. So, kind of a mixed bag. So I think we gave the parameters as best we could. And
relative strength on IBD scale 0 to 136.
Yeah.
You'd like it 70 or more, right?
Yeah.
Two-thirds.
I mean, yeah, technically there's not a strong reason to buy, you know, so can't get that excited. What's the next one anyway?
The next one is MKC.
MKC sounds very familiar.
McKesson.
That's what I thought it sounded familiar there.
Yeah. McCormick. Yeah. All right. Close.
MKC is what?
McCormick.
McCormick.
The spicy
guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's terrible. That chart looks sick, doesn't it?
Well, most of the food stocks don't look terrific, if you call it a food stock.
Yeah, but the only thing that's kind of interesting with this big pullback is it is still above the 200-day.
Which is 125 and
a close
to
125
and a close
at 139. Did drop through the 50-day at 144. So I would say that you are above the 200-day. If you're a longer-term investor, and once again, you don't know if somebody's looking for a trade, looking for, you know, an investment. As an investment, you know, technically, as long as you're over the 200-day, it's potentially okay.
Market cap of $18 billion, but this is interesting. Management owns 37% of it.
That is very interesting to say.
And usually, management votes with their wallet. They want to make money.
So that's always helpful, no question about it. And, you know, point-and-figure chart objective on the downside is 114, but you do have support, what, about 132 or so? Yeah. And,
so again, you'd buy a little bit and watch it or wait to see if it gets in.
But you want it to stay above that 200-day, and that's at 125. So I wouldn't like to see that much under 125. So, but it's a possibility. I mean, you know, there's no or you wait for the 3-box reversal, as we always say, and you'd have to move up to 142.
Yeah, the way we would do it if someone wanted to buy was we'd set a computer alert for a reversal, which means it would. The price will go up 6% because these are 2-point boxes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's at 139. If it hits 142, a more aggressive person could buy it, you know. And
McCormick. The company's brands in the Americas include McCormick, Lowry's, Clubhouse, as well as Gourmet Garden. Never heard of it. Old Bay provides a range of products for food manufacturers and food service customers. Sales and distributions in North America, also in Europe and China.
Yeah,
interestingly.
Well, like I said, I think I prefer to see a little. It is above the 200 days, so that's you could buy half position. But if it did rally to that 142, would be a better sign. Yeah,
that's right.
Yep. Okay.
Well, that's it for the chat. Wait a minute, I think.
Is that it? Is there one above that one?
Do you need more chat box?
Well, we got a couple people on now, but, it's a lot. We'll go back to the chat box.
Take a call.
Okay, we're going to go first to Tony and Clarence. Good morning. Tony?
I don't hear anyone.
Your Stone McCarthy printouts. And in it, one of it says, on the other hand, there's a ceasefire in the trade war with China. But it could pick up at any time. As of this writing, the federal government is experiencing another shutdown. Furthermore, a large portion of the economy's growth over the last decade has been prompted by fiscal stimulus from the government, stimulus that will be harder and harder to provide as the nation's deficit climbs and climbs. Take away the prop, and what happens to the growth? Well, what is the stimulus that they're talking about in this section, and what are they talking about? And it's being taken away because the deficit's now what, at about $23 trillion?
Are you looking at last night's or the week before?
So I'm looking at last night's, or yesterday I got this.
They post it late at night or early Saturday morning. That's what I'm asking.
I don't know. I got it in the mail yesterday.
Oh, you got it in the mail?
Yeah, yesterday. Yeah. Okay. It says the future.
I see what you're saying. I mean, there will be some hit on economic growth because of the shutdown. And that what they're saying is the government spending's a portion of your growth in the economy, you know, what they spend. And if they're hampered right now from doing spending and putting money in, you know, for people who aren't being paid and so forth, it affects the economy.
Well, what about the nation's deficit? We know that the new tax bill creates a $1.5 trillion in the nation's deficit.
Tony, what they're saying, I think, because I did read this, is that the cost of the interest on the debt is going to be a drag on the economy, of course, right? Because interest has to be paid. They don't have the money, so they issue more debt.
Right. Well, then what we have now is $23 trillion in debt.
That's right. And a few years ago it was 19, and I have no idea.
It was 21 when Obama left.
How are they going to pay this back? I have no idea.
Right. So
you usually pay it back with taxes.
So how could we expect that there's just going to be continued growth in the GDP when we have the national debt going up all the time?
Well,
the growth has relatively little to do with that right now. Okay, it's only if the debt blew up. And the problem, what people don't realize, is that the cost of servicing the debt, even though the debt has gone up, the cost of serving it has gone down. All right, I looked at a chart; it's steadily down over the last few years. So it's only a problem when the cost of servicing gets impossible. And that would only be if interest rates went up, way up, you know.
Okay, so the stimulus that he's talking about here is going to be taken down because of everything going out.
Well, the other thing is they're releasing bonds they bought in during the 07, 08, 09. They're releasing those back into the marketplace, which will put pressure.
Thanks a lot for explaining these things to me.
Appreciate the call very much.
You're right.
Thank you very much. You know, as I always say, someday it'll be a problem. You know, who knows? Is it going to be next week, next month, 10 years from now, 50 years from now? They've been talking about the debt for decades, all right? People, you know, look at all the forecasts years ago. The world was coming to an end with the debt, you know, decades ago. Who knows, you know? But as long as they can service the debt, it doesn't become a major problem, you know. So there you go.
Do you have any other callers?
Yeah, we do. One more.
All right.
Right now, phone line's wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Give us a call. Very easy to get in right now. We're going
to go
next.
Go to the website and leave a stock if you want.
Yeah. And if you go to the website, you know, go to saperston.com and hit the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming comes up. Hit live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page. You can type in a symbol. And if you do, let us know whether you're looking to buy, sell, whatever, so we can analyze it based on that. And we're going to go next to Art in New Jersey. Good morning.
My very favorite financial show. I look forward to it every Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you for the nice note on the website, on the chat.
You're welcome. And my sister is... go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
That's all he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, my sister is enjoying the same weather that Willard is down at Sarasota.
Well, she's about a mile from where I am, as you know.
Yeah, I decided not to leave the house this year.
Well, it's very interesting, you know, that you know the weather service, like the financial media, you know, overplays everything, you know, and they were warning about this monster storm. I'm sure somebody's going to get hit bad, but
they were talking 6 to 8. Now it's 1 to 2 for us here.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, here they were saying, 5 to 10 inches or something like that. Who knows? But the bottom line of how all the media frightens people, our local Wegmans was packed like people had to get food even more than usual, you know, to stock up, which amazes me for Buffalonians, you know. And a couple of people I know run restaurants, they were empty, you know.
Right.
So who knows?
Although we had a good week in the market, I had two bad things.
We saw that.
Yeah, yeah, Pacific Gas and IMU, and I read the Barron's, and learned what was going on with those two.
Not good.
Not good.
BMY had a good week, and Ultra, the one I mentioned once before, I got a capital gains in December of about $3.80, mm-hmm. and now the price is back up to what it was before the capital gains. So this is a fairly good mutual fund.
Uh-huh.
You probably ought to be sticking with that kind of stuff, but I know you have a love of stocks, as do many people. So
Sure. I'm just putting together my spreadsheet for the end of the year, December 31st. Can I send Willard the thing down, take a look at it, any thoughts on it?
Yeah, send it down. If you send it to Hamburg, Kay will get it to me, and if you send it down here, I'll see it either way. I'm on the phone.
All right, I'll send it to the Florida address.
You know, that's fine.
Yeah, that sounds great. So everything here is good, though, and again, we look forward to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Stay out of the weather, and thanks very much.
Thank you both.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Okay. All right.
Once again, phone line is wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And we'll go to Frank in Rochester. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. You're in fire. Happy 1-19-19.
Thank you.
I always like to get that in when that happens.
When that happens, yeah. I didn't even think about it. Yeah.
Anyways, I'm easily amused. Anyways, question on a stock, FNMA.
Oh, boy. That is a lottery ticket.
Right.
Okay. FNMA at 241 close.
It's had a big run.
Yesterday, $1.80, the high was
$2.63. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because
it closed at $2.41.
Because all the trading rooms jumped in on it, okay? And based on the fact that there were rumors or whatever that the government's going to take them out of conservatorship, right?
Conservatorship.
Yeah, conservatorship.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac regulation discussing plan to end conservatorship. Yeah. I'm looking at the headlines.
Right. And the bottom line, you know, people are trying to figure out what it's worth. And I've seen some people saying the stock is worth as much as 20 if they go back to being out of that conservatorship, which I can't say. But anyway.
But if
they get out of that. So it's a speculation, you know. And if you have money that you can burn, you know. You could take a shot at it, you know, as long as you're not risking a lot, you know.
No, I've been in that stock since 2008.
Oh, you have been?
Since the financial crisis. I got just a couple hundred shares at 87 cents, and it's been hovering around 240, 250 all the time.
Yeah.
Then
recently
it dipped almost to a dollar. And then I'm wondering, you know, when I should get out of it, that's all.
Well, you're on a downtrend on point and figure, and you're coming up to resistance at 250, 275 where you are.
But you did get
a
buy signal,
however, the thing's
right?
been at 4.5 in December of 2016. Maybe can you put a stop on a stock like that? I don't know. Is it still listed?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's listed, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can put a stop, but, you know, to me, unless you've got tons of money tied up in this, you know, I'd almost let it play out, you know. Either you win or you lose, you know.
According to what I'm seeing, it's on the pink sheets, Peter.
Is it really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if it's on the pink sheets, then
You can put it in,
but nobody may ever see your stop.
Okay.
Because I don't know if they still run that out of their drawer, you know, or something, their desk. You know?
Yep, that's right.
Right.
But anyway, but I mean, you know, I would look at it, hey, if there's that possibility and you could afford to leave that money in there, and then if it did jump up to 5 or something, you could reevaluate it, you know,
right.
or take some off the table.
It's only a couple hundred shares, so
Well, that's good. Yeah, definitely. I mean, let it ride, and you know, who knows? You know, if they do come out and if they're worth anything, they're going to be worth more than $2 if they come out of the conservatorship, you know. Hey, I said it. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, total assets, $3.3 billion. Total liabilities, $3.3 billion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, we'll see what happens. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
So, in other words, then, there's no shareholder equity. That's what that's saying.
Yeah.
And then another thing. I don't know when the government gets involved. You know, you saw what they did with General Motors years ago.
You never know.
Well, that's the reason I figured, you know, maybe the government might get involved back in 2008 and help the stock out, and help the company out. But, and, you know, so I thought it was like a lottery ticket myself.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. A question, just this might affect other callers and listeners. Back at the end of last year, anyone who had Dell Technologies was given an option for a merger. You could get between 1.5 to 1.8 share conversion of what you currently had, or you can get between $120 and $150 a share.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, now they're giving you, speaking of lottery tickets, so I read that, you know, I didn't know what to do, and $120 a share sounded pretty tempting. I only had 44 shares.
Mm-hmm.
So I read that article in Barron's.
Okay.
And where the guy said, oh, you know, you got to go for the stock conversion. Michael Dell, you know, you don't know how many deals he's got up his sleeve coming, you know, going forward and everything, and what you're going to have is an undervalued stock, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyways, I listened to the guy who wrote the article, his opinion, and I took the conversion.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up with 79 shares.
Okay.
79 shares. Let me say this. If I would have taken $120 a share, I would have had $5,300.
Mm-hmm.
By taking the conversion at $43 a share, I have like $3,300. So I'm down about $2,000. I thought when they do these things, they give you these options, you know, either take the money, they try, it's close, you know, so the value of one is very close to the other. And I know a lot of the conversion depends on what the stock closes at, the day, you know, it's predicated on when the stock closes at the day of the merger, when the merger is agreed upon.
Well,
but it seemed like the merger was predicated on how many people took the conversion. And then if so many people, you know, whatever percent took the conversion, then the other people that opted for cash would get between 120 and 150. So the people that took the conversion and sacrificed getting the sure thing are down. So I'm just wondering, have you ever heard of anything so crazy before?
Oh, yeah, but,
I mean,
but,
so
yeah.
Off balance?
No, but I don't know the specifics of it. But normally what happens in a deal like that, okay, is if too many people ask for the cash, then they prorate it. So instead of 120,
right,
you might get 60.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not guaranteed 120 to 150, right?
Yeah, but I think they were guaranteeing the minimum of 120.
They were saying they were guaranteeing a minimum of 120?
Yeah, because they called their number they had in their booklet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's surprising.
So, I was just surprised that the deal came out so one-sided.
Well, I mean, once again, I'd have to look at that because I've never seen that. You know, if everybody wanted the cash, they're only going to pay so much cash. So I don't see how they can guarantee 120 to 150.
Yeah, that's true. You know? Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
but I'll take a look at it.
I just wondered what you guys thought. That's all.
I'll have to take a look at that and see. But normally, that's the way they work it. You know, that they end up prorating it. You know. So,
right.
So it's a gamble. It's a gamble.
So you know what you had, and maybe in the future you get another one. You sell it out and sit back and watch.
Right. Yeah.
Because you had a nice profit, and it was a nice price.
Well, while I was looking at it, and I said if I took the cash, I could have took the cash and then bought the shares at 43 and ended up with 120 shares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm wondering. I'm scratching my head. I'm saying, well, how did this happen?
Right. Well, it's.
They generally do anything for the shareholder. They do it for themselves. I mean, not to be sarcastic.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously.
Okay. Well.
I'm gonna go take a look at that. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for your time and your help and your opinions.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
We appreciate the call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Frank. Thank you.
I'll take a 1-minute break if David can wait. It'll only be 1 minute. We'll be back in a minute.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB.
And out of Rochester, New York.
Is that where they are?
Yeah. Hour and a half from us.
Unbelievable.
Isn't it?
Because you're right. I mean, I'm sure nobody would know. You know, you say Brighton Securities. Well, where's that?
Unless they're from Rochester.
From Rochester, exactly. So. Anyway, right now we'll go to David in Fort Myers, Florida. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
How have you been?
Okay.
Good.
Here's a question just about the technicals. I'm wondering, with the fluctuation that we're having, am I better off going to a four boxes or stick with the two boxes?
Well, I mean, you mean three boxes or...
Well, if it's an expensive stock, it goes to $2
like
a box.
Go to a $4 box or something.
Oh, okay. I've got what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Change the...
Well, number one, people change the boxes from time to time. And what you want to do is see if you change it to that, is it working? Okay. Because you want to use the box size that's been given you, better projections, better... buy points and sell points. So, yeah, you could change it and then take a look and see if it's working better with that,
Every stock is different.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Because the fluctuations have been so dramatic that it's really showing up on the boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know what you mean, but what happens, too, is if you... If you went to a four-point box, for example, and a stock ran way up, you're not going to get a sell signal for a long time.
That's so you might be better off looking at both.
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes always
go to four and go to two.
You know the box size changes with the price of the stock. That's part of point and figure.
Yeah.
So under $20, it's a half a point box sizes. So
right.
A three-point reversal is a point and a half. Under 10, I think it's a quarter point or some such thing.
Yeah, I don't
But over
well,
$100, you see them going to two-point boxes. So you would have to get a six box or six almost 6% change, you see. So it's good to look at a few different ones if you.
And when you go up to very expensive stocks, the same thing applies, correct?
Yes.
Exactly.
So if you're looking at a $200 or $300 stock, it could be a four box.
Okay. All right. I never noticed.
Now, they call that the default screen.
Yeah, that's what
but
usually
that,
I'm
that's
on.
The definition
default
of
screen.
Point and figure. So that's all right. But you can change the box size on a default screen just to have a more precise look.
All right.
If four points a box, you could put in two and see if it gives you any difference. We do it all the time.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye, David.
What's that?
I said goodbye to him.
Oh, you did? Okay.
He's a friend.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
At any rate, phone lines wide open again. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541.
Cisco on the chat box.
Well, Cisco, I will refer you to this weekend's Barron's.
Oh.
Very bullish write-up on it. Said the company's benefiting from 5G coming up and benefiting from it. It used to be in the old type technology, okay, and got hurt for a while because it got itself left behind. Now they seem to be in the forefront again, is basically the gist of the article.
Yeah.
So I would.
It pays almost 3%. Last three quarters earnings per share up 10, up 15, up 23, with sales up 4, 6, and 8. However, projected to have 17% lower earnings 2019 and 9% lower in 20. I don't know how they do the projection.
I have no idea how, really.
Relative strength of 83, which is fine.
Yeah, I mean it.
And earnings per share relative strength of 72.
Yeah, and to me, you know, if I look at the chart, it held in support at 41. You know, the 41 area, which has been down to three times. All right.
Yep.
So you've got a trading range between 41 and 49. I don't know if the person owns it or looking to buy it or whatever, but it had a nice three-box reversal, you know, off that bottom. So as long as it, and where's the 200-day? It's at 44, so
yep.
It just climbed slightly above it, you know, the 200-day. So you want to see it, you know, move above, further above the 200, ideally hold the 200 for support. But you do have a trading range, 41 to 49. So
you have a cup with handle,
mm-hmm.
Which is very good at 48. Of course, it then broke that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was in December.
So. Yeah, but you know, to me, it looks okay. I think you know, I think it's okay, and I just reevaluated if it got down to 40, and if it certainly, started using that 200-day in the 44 area or so as support, I think, it could even be in better position. So, but I'd refer you to do your research. Maybe you get
Barron's.
A chance, read this weekend's Barron's about the company, and you can make a decision with the parameters we just put in there. So what's up next?
GLUU, which is glue.
I'm very
global.
Familiar with that. A Chinese.
Are you?
Yeah, Chinese. Yeah, I lost money on it years ago. But anyway.
Oh, okay. Terrific little chart. Take a look at
that
chart.
Well, got me as I saw the chat box. He says, just started moving. It didn't just start moving. I mean, it's been moving steadily up. You know, don't forget, this was like 1.75, back in 16?
Yeah, last year it was 350, and now it's
It's nine-something,
$9.69. Yeah.
A major breakout on the company. I don't know if you have information on what they do. I know there were, they were a big gaming company in China. Apparently, people think the fortunes have changed. For a long time, they were gaming. They weren't making any money.
It's a $200 billion. Oh, no, I'm still on Cisco. Sorry.
$200 billion.
Stay with me. Here we go. It's... $1.3 billion market cap. It did break out. It has a relative strength of 99 on IBD. Earnings per share of 45, which isn't good. Sales are up 22, 31, and 43 the last three quarters.
They've been accelerating, yeah.
Yeah, and it says it's in San Francisco.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, on the description.
Well, that's interesting because the gaming's in China. I know that.
Yeah,
develops,
publishes, and markets a portfolio of mobile games. The company develops and publishes a portfolio of mobile games. I don't know. Oh, designed to appeal to a cross-section of users of smartphones and tablets. There's a portfolio of mobile games spread across various genres, including fashion and celebrity food sports, action, social networking, and home. As a portfolio of games include, I have no idea what this is, Contact Killer, Cooking, Covet Fashion, Deer Hunter, Design Home, Quick Up, Tap Sports Baseball, as well as games based on third-party likened brands, including Gordon Ramsay and Dash, Kyle and Kyle. I don't know.
You got a lot of stuff. I mean,
yeah,
they're into all the mobile gaming stuff for one thing. Okay, and makes a kind
earnings
of...
estimated to be up, but let me say that operating income off of sales of $286 million in 17 were down. $85 million operating income down.
But the chart, for some reason,
chart looks terrific.
Looks terrific. You know, no question about that.
Yeah.
And if you look at, let's even take a look at this real quick. Well, you got the 200-day back at 655, so it's well over that.
Yeah.
Having broken out, the support should now be between what, 7.5 and 8.
Look at the bullish price objective.
The price, you know, for what it's worth, a grain of salt, based on the point and figure chart method, is 16.25, all right? So I think it's interesting. It's a speculation. You know, it's been a wild stock over the years, and people were always kind of pumping it up and saying, you know, glue is going to be the next greatest thing in the world. And now all of a sudden it's broken out of a big trading area for what, the last...
Yeah.
Many years. Maybe an all-time high for all I know.
In 2007, it was at 1469.
In 2007, yeah.
Yeah, I got a 10-year chart.
So theoretically, you know, the target 16.25, you know, the 2007 high could be a target. What would you say? What was 14 something?
1467.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, very good. And especially if you're a long-term player, you use the 200-day, 6.5.
So the chat box asked me, what are the fundamentals? The fundamentals are that the sales have been going up steadily each quarter, and with increased sales are increasing earnings losses, but expected to have positive earnings per share this year of 35 cents, 2019.
Well, you got to realize in this day and age, Amazon did that for a long time, you know, increased their sales. And what they do is they throw their money back into the business and spend more, right?
Yep.
And keep building it up. So,
but it is considered a small company.
No, yeah, it is a small company, but, you know, it's following today's model, you know, of the internet. And as long as the sales are expanding, you expect them to eventually, you know, start making money, you know, after they've spent all the money, you know, building up their little fortress, more or less. So, anyway, you know, very interesting.
Any callers?
Yeah, tons of them.
Well, let's go.
All right. We're going to go?
No, to the callers.
Oh, okay. We're going to go to Tom in Amherst next. Good morning.
What's your take on Cadence Design CDNS that was mentioned in Barron's?
CDNS, yeah, they had a lot of stuff in there this weekend, I'll tell you. Because they have that 2019 roundtable with everybody's picks.
Cadence Designs, market cap $13 billion. Earnings per share increase since the December 16 quarter, up 10, up 14, up 17, up 17, up 15, up 25, up 32, up 40. That's pretty substantial. On IBD, Peter, it hit a new relative strength high.
Mm-hmm.
Of 92, and an earnings per share relative strength of 93.
Yeah, it's in a trading range between about 41 and 47, but the 200 days at 43.5, it's above the 200 day, and the 50 day is just about the same. You know, so that's positive above the 50.
And it's 2% from the IBD buy point. They call it a pivot.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to buy it, you know, 39 might be a reevaluation point for it, right?
That's 10 points, 39.
Well, as it is what it is, you know. But, I mean, you could use the 200-day, you know, which is pretty close these days, and you're taking, you know, a little bit of a blip, or somebody says something ridiculous, I can't imagine who on any given day, you could take out that, you know, 43.5, so... No, so you got to be willing to give it a little bit more room, you know.
You could also put a buy on stop
at 48.
At 48, it would be a clear breakout
at 48. So, and that's where to close, 46.62, right?
Yeah.
So you might wait for the break at 48 if you want to be a little bit more conservative about it. But you know, it looks like it has good support, say 41 to 43. You know.
Where is it looking to go to?
Well, right now, it's got a bearish price objective because it was the last sell signal. But if it went to 48, if I did a horizontal count, it would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And 7 times 3 is 21, 40, 62, right? So the horizontal count would give you 62 if it went to 48.
Okay, good analysis. What about AMD?
Boy, that's...
all over the place.
I don't know. I kind of like the woman running the company, you know, I think they finally, you know, dug themselves out of the mire they've been in for years, you know, like something stuck to the heel of Intel or something, you know. But anyway.
I think it just crossed the 50-day.
Yeah, and, I think it's interesting in here. And it's been building this nice base now for...
Beautiful.
But, yeah. So I would say, you know, you could buy it on the short-term break at 22 or pop the 24. Or if you want to buy it now, you know, 18.5 would be the first possible stop, and then it would be 16.
It's just about to break the downtrend line.
Yeah, I mean, it looks...
If it keeps going.
Yeah, a little bit further pop up, you might buy it. Yep.
Or buy and stop at 22.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Because you're above the 200-day at 19, and 50-day about 19. So if that area holds, you should be okay, to say the least.
So you gave us two buy and stop ideas.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Good analysis. Keep
okay.
warm.
We'll try, believe
we'll
me.
We'll do our best. It's 72
yeah,
degrees.
Yeah, Willard won't have a problem.
Looking out at sun.
Right.
Okay, thank
okay
you.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate
bye
it.
Bye.
Okay. We're going to go next to Vic in Amherst. Yeah, I can't see that far.
Hey, guys. Good
how you
morning.
Doing?
Today's show wouldn't be complete without a mention of the passing of John Bogle.
Really?
That's right. You're a hero.
Well, Joe, my hero, and it should be every individual investor's hero. What this guy has done for the individual investor over the last 40 years is unparalleled. I remember when I was in high school, my parents bought a Neuberger Berman mutual fund and gave the broker $10,000, and $9,450 went towards their purchase, and the other $5,500 went as a commission.
Not to mention the internal expense ratio.
And how many brokers back in the day took mighty a lavish vacation on the backs of individual investors with
you
these loaded funds? And nobody,
you bet.
Everybody forgets about it. It was because of John Bogle that we're paying expenses in the 20 and 30 basis points and even lower. So
that's
God
right.
rest his soul.
Agreed.
Okay, let's get now.
We
let's get on to
the Vanguard products, and I think they're terrific.
Let's get on to the nitty gritty. I'm long two stocks. First one is HZNP, Horizon Pharmaceutical. I'm into both of these probably 3 to 4 points lower than what they are now. I want to average up on these two. What would be your buy point on an additional half position? The first one is HZNP.
Oh, God, you're in a cup formation on IBD.
Okay.
And it would look, you're always looking to buy lower, right?
No.
No, he's buying up.
I want to get a second position at half my original position. What would be the buy point on a second position?
Well,
I want to average up.
Right, the buy point would be 24 breakout. Okay.
24.
Yep.
And what would be the stop loss with the boxes on it to liquidate the position?
Well,
would you go just below the 200?
I'm going to put it in a quarter box, Peter.
Yeah, because the half point...
That would be 20 and three quarters on a quarter box.
Mm-hmm. And the 50 days at 20 and a half, and the 200 days at 18. So anywhere...
17, 50?
Yeah, anywhere between 18 and 20 and a half. You know, so if you want to hold it above the 200-day, go below the 200-day 18.
No, I definitely... I always give it a little bit of room.
Right,
yeah.
Yep.
Second one is INVA, INVA. Same deal. I'm in at probably on this one about 4 points lower. I want to average up. What would the boxes tell me? Where's my second position?
Well, that's a toughie because you should have averaged up or bought up at 19, all right? Because that was a new buy again.
Closed at 1967.
Yeah. So you could do it any time.
Invo, you think is pretty ready to roll, huh?
Well, I mean, you're going to have to take out the resistance in 2021 area, okay? So
okay.
That's where your resistance is in 2021. But it's a very nice chart. It's been pretty nice up for you for quite a while, you know.
Yeah. What do you guys think of UPS?
UPS?
Yeah, I mean it's been doing nothing for it's been doing nothing for a few years now. It's underperformed the S&P 500, but I think it's a great company.
Yeah, well, you could have a great company and a rotten stock.
I agree. I agree.
Yep.
I agree with that.
They have lost some parcels for us. I might say that it was a little frustrating. And there were checks coming down to Florida, vice versa.
Well, I mean, if you're more or less a short term, I mean, you came down to a support area where it's rebounded from, you know, which was around.
Are you a bottom fisher on this one?
88.89. Well, it just gave a buy signal, right?
Yeah, it just gave a buy signal.
Just gave a buy signal at 99.
No, I take it at 90. So you think it's a buy now?
Yeah, I mean, it's still in a downtrend, but it could run. It's going to run into resistance about 104, okay? And where to close at?
101.60.
Yeah, and the 200-day is up at 111.
By the way, After Hours is trading right now 102.19. I get that now on
one. Oh, really? Okay.
Systems, you know.
Yeah, so
whatever that means.
So, you know, if you go to the downtrend line, you could get up as high as 114, you know.
Okay. Hey, explain to me one thing, and I'll let another caller come on. Barron's every year does their end of the year, and they bring all the supposed the best of the best together, and they give their picks. Okay, and then the following year, they say what they've done over
last
the
year.
Last
year was terrible.
How? But it's like the local yokels at Buffalo Evening News, the same thing every year. They underperform the market. They underperform the market. The same thing locally with the Buffalo News. They never beat the S&P 500. Yet they're supposed experts. Again, getting back to Vogel, that's why index funding's is for the vast majority of people. I'm not saying for everybody. Some people have a little gambler in them. But, I mean, for the average investor, index funds, low fees, live a happy life. Thanks, guys.
All right.
You're the best pick. Thank
well,
you.
What I was going to say, they have something called the Siver Report, where they looked at, you know, mutual fund managers, and they just said that, you know, over, you know, quite a few years, 71% of large cap fund managers, even before fees, not even taking the fees out of there, could not beat the market, you know. So very interesting.
Well, we should all go home.
Yep. It's tough to beat the market, let's face it, you know, no question about it. So, you know, it depends on what you're looking for. As we always say to people, you know, some people have come to us and they just want to make 5% a year, right? They're not trying to beat the market. So it depends what you're looking for. So, but anyway, we're going to go next to Bob in Buffalo. Good morning.
I'm looking for a dream.
A dream?
Well, your junior miners have been a little weak. I was looking.
Yeah, but the next big thing is palladium.
Well, they mentioned that in Barron's this weekend.
Did they really?
Yeah, they said it went to a high of 13.18, and
it's way past that.
Is it really?
Yeah, on Thursday it went to 14.
Oh, I don't know.
39.
Oh, really?
Interday trading. But it closed at somewhere around 1350.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, we've got to hurry up. There's about 3 minutes left. But,
yeah, I just called to say hello, guys.
Well, no, I appreciate that. But, you know, they mentioned, you know, this old thing that, you know, people might switch to platinum, which is around the 800-and-something area. Right?
Well, yeah, I'm looking into that right now.
But you should read the article because they're saying that it doesn't happen that quickly.
You know me, I have a lot of patience.
And one guy says you have to have a $500 difference between, you know, who nuts is a pain.
Opinion, oh, really?
$500 difference between platinum and palladium, which it does have, but for at least 1 to 2 years before they switch, because it's not that easy to switch, you know.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, read it. Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I will. Thanks.
Okay.
Hey, thanks
guys,
for the call.
Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy
yeah,
the
you too.
Storm.
Okay.
I will.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Don't think we have anybody else on right now. I don't know if you have anything. Chat box done?
KBLB.
What is it?
KBLB.
KBLB?
Yeah.
I think it's a penny stock, I think.
Well,
it's Craig Biocraft Laboratories. You have 1-0 at 25 cents on the point and figure chart, right?
Well, we'll see if we've got it on
stock
Thompson
charts. I don't know. What was it? KBLB, you said?
It's 5 cents.
Yeah, I know. You know, I don't know what to say about it. You know, it's interesting. I mean,
it's out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's a biotechnology company focused on developmental and commercial action. Spider Silks, the company's lead product, is generally engineered spider silk known as Monster Silk. Monster Silk is a composite fiber which is spun by...
We don't have much time here. But
transgenic
anyway.
Worms.
Okay, but anyway...
And it loses money every year.
Yeah, but a very speculative, you know, this is a lottery ticket. But the daily chart moved above the 200-day, and, you know, it's been plateauing, so... It could have a target back up to the 7.5 area, 7.5 cents. There you go. So, possibility of 7.5 cents on it.
You have been listening to. Is it time for this?
It is. You do it.
Willard Saperston and Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctors, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management. Securities cleared through Brighton Securities out of Rochester. And we're rebroadcast 12 to 1.
Don't say too much because we don't have much time.
And
we're done.
Other than that, keep some powder dry and good night and good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperston Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperston Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.